Good morning, everyone.
The Bible text our sermon message is based on today is 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 1. And I'll be reading from the Authorized Standard Version. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we beheld, and our hands handled, concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen, and bear witness, and declare unto you the life, the eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you also, that ye also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father, and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write, that our joy may be made full. And this is the message which we have heard from him, and announce unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in the darkness, we lie, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, these things I write unto you, that ye may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous.
I want to welcome everyone on Zoom for being here. Thank you for being here, and it's good to see Raven here. You can hear me okay? Okay, good. All right. It's good news. Let's go ahead and start today's services with prayer, if you'll join me. Father, we do turn to you this morning, and again, we just want to thank you that you've worked things out with Raven, and she can hear again better probably than she has in a while. Thank you for that. Father, thank you for being here and allowing us to join you and worship you and praise you. And we just ask a blessing now on the hearing and on the speaking, and also, Father, on the technology. Thank you that it's working well. Father, we just honor you and praise you and invite you here. Thank you. And we praise you and pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. During my studies, I heard about a sermon that was preached over 200 years ago, back in 1741, called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. It was preached by an American theologian, Jonathan Edwards. And I didn't understand the full context of the sermon, but basically the premise, as I understood it, was that God is angry with sinners and that he barely tolerates their presence, and he's ready to shuffle them off to a hellfire as soon as he can because they're sinners. We're talking about relationship here, and that's kind of how I thought of God in my previous years before I understood grace and before I understood God's love and the real nature of God. And so I titled my sermon today, Christians in the Hands of a Loving God, because I think that's a better representation of our state of being. And we're going to talk today about relationships. One of the most common topics that I speak about on Sundays is relationships. And the reason for that is because it's vital to our Christian walk that we have a relationship with God. In our scripture for today, John addresses the topic of relationship. And as we go through the scriptures, we realize that this was a vital topic for him as well. He wanted to share with his listeners, his readers, how vitally important having a relationship with each other, the people sitting next to you, but also how vitally important it was to have a relationship with God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as well. And so we're going to explore that this morning. Most people understand the important things in life are not things at all, but they're relationships that we have. If you go to the bed of a person who's about to pass away, they're rarely asking if you could go to their house and grab their trophies and place them around the bed, or you could go get their Mercedes-Benz and park it right outside the door of the hospital so they can see it. What they want are people around them as they're passing, because these are people they love, they care about. We're talking about relationships here. These are the important things in life. God put in us a desire for relationship, a desire he intended to be met through relationships with other people. But most of all, he put in us a desire for relationship, a relationship that is met with your relationship with God. In our scriptures for this morning, John introduces us to the truth about relationships. I want to thank Pastor Stain for reading the scriptures, and we're going to go through the scriptures step by step and show you what John was talking about and who John was talking about. So let's get started with his explanation, and it comes from the book of 1 John 1, starting in verse 1. And this is the ASV. He says, "That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we beheld and our hands have handled concerning the word of life." So John starts off this morning with a statement, "That which was from the beginning." So let's explore this a little bit. There's the word "that." What does that mean? It indicates a person or a being who existed at some point in time. He doesn't define it yet. He just says that person, that being, which was from the beginning. And the word "beginning" here indicates a point in time before creation, a point in time before even time existed. So we can render this as a being that existed before the world and time was. This was a time when there was just God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And so John is referring here to one of those beings that existed back then. That's how he starts this whole thought process out. Let's continue. He says, "That which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we beheld and our hands have handled." The indication here is that this was a first-hand account of John's. This wasn't a second-hand account. This wasn't Pastor Stain telling me something he did and I'm relating it to you. No, this was a first-hand account. This means that he had a personal relationship with this being that existed. John is saying, I had a personal relationship with this being that existed, with this individual who existed before time. How weird is that, right? You have a personal relationship with a being that existed before time. This being became accessible to him. Whoever this individual was, John is saying that they did life together. John gives a name to this being. He calls him the Word of Life, otherwise known as the Logos. Who here has heard that word Logos before? Yeah, that word Logos has an interesting meaning. The Jews of John's day referred to God as the Word or Logos. Some people pronounce it Logos, same thing. They felt that God revealed himself clearly in the Word, and so they used the word for Logos, or Logos for Word. Now, the Greeks of John's day also, at least the philosophers, used the word Logos as well. And they used it to mean the intelligence in the universe, the power that controlled all things, so in essence, the God of the universe. So John here is saying that, and he's saying this to everyone, this Logos, this Word, right, this power of the universe that you talk about and write about, I have seen him, I have touched him, I've done life with him. He exists. So this is a first-hand account of me doing life with this Logos that you refer to, which I'm sure for the people of John's day was quite revolutionary, this thought process that you can do life with the Logos or the Word, right? Let's continue John's explanation here. This is verse 2. And the life was manifested. In other words, he appeared. And we have seen and bear witness and declare unto you the life, the eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. So in saying that that life was manifested, he's saying that this Word, this Logos, right, this life was made real and we did life with it. We hung out with it. We lived with it. In other words, he's starting to introduce this concept that you can truly have a relationship with this individual. You can actually have a relationship with the Logos, the Word. And again, this was revolutionary to the people of John's day. He made himself real. He made himself human. And I, John, am a firsthand witness to that. All right, so let's look at the second part of this scripture. He said, and we have seen, and we bear witness, and we declare unto you the life, the Logos, the Word, the eternal life, which was with the Father, was manifested unto us. So John here uses the word eternal life as a title or definition of this being. So now we have a number of names for him. Logos, the Word, right? That was how he started this whole argument, that being, right? And now we have another one, and that is eternal life. That's another term. Meaning he is calling this being God, or godlike because this being has eternal life. And only God has eternal life. Now, we're also going to have a form of eternal life, but it's not going to be the same because the Father, Son, and Spirit have no beginning, and we did. All right, let's continue to the last part of verse 2. It says, which was with the Father and was manifest unto us. So John here continues his theme of relationship, but now he moves into eternal spiritual relationship between the Father and Son that always existed. Remember how he opened this argument? He said that which existed at some point in time, and now he defines who that is. It wasn't the Father. It wasn't the Holy Spirit. He's defining that as the Son, who existed with the Father and with the Spirit before time existed. And he's saying that, the Word, the Logos, manifested himself to us, made himself available to us, became human, and did life with us. All right, so let's move on to verse 3 here. Let me read it. That which we have seen and heard, declared we unto you also. So I'm declaring this unto you. I'm making you aware of this. That you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So he introduces an interesting concept here. We're starting to get to the heart of the topic at hand, and that topic is relationship. Relationship with each other and relationship with the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. So the word for fellowship John uses here is an ancient Greek term called koinonia, which speaks of sharing, which speaks of a communion, a common bond, a common life. It speaks of living, breathing, sharing, loving relationship with one another. Now look around you. We do life together here at GC Port Orchard pretty well. We live with each other. We put up with each other. We argue with each other. We love each other. And we pray for each other, and we celebrate with each other, and on it goes, right? We do life together. That is what John is talking about here. Koinonia, right? Relationship. Now, it's easy to understand when we talk about a relationship with each other, right? We, like I said, we share things with each other. Travis texted me this morning that we needed to pray for Raven, and so we did. That's doing life together. But now he introduces something a little different than that. He starts applying this to the relationship with Jesus, right? And then we get into the realm of something that's almost unbelievable. How do you do life with a God? Because this is the question I'm sure John's followers were asking. How do you do life with a God? I can do life with Ginny, right? I can do life with Pastor Stain, just barely, but I can, right? But how do you do life with a God? This is the concept that John is introducing here. John knows that people understand koinonia. He knows that people understand doing life together. But with a God, with someone who has unlimited resources, someone who created us, you can actually do life with them. And John is saying, yeah, we did that. We did life with him, the Word, the Logos. Would they even want to be in relationship with us? And John is saying yes. And Jesus is saying yes. Jesus claimed the same thing when he told the Jews that they could call God their Father. You are their Son. You can have a relationship with him. By implication, God wanted to have a relationship with them as a father does to his children. And this was revolutionary in John's day. The possibility of a real relationship with Jesus, that whole thing cannot exist as we know without the help of the Holy Spirit. And we'll talk about that a little bit. His disciples, for example, they were with him for 3.5 years. And right near the end of that relationship, he made this statement. He said, "Have I been with you so long, and thou dost not know me, Philip?" In other words, 3.5 years I've been with you, and you still don't know me? Give me a break. We should be better acquainted with each other. But it takes the Holy Spirit working in us. It takes the Holy Spirit changing us and growing us, interacting in our lives. After Christ's resurrection, the Holy Spirit came, right? And it made things a whole lot easier to understand. And now, someone like Isaiah knows who God is because of the Holy Spirit. He can interact with God. He prays with God. Even Stain understands who God is. I pick on Stain a lot because I love him and I always have fun picking on him. But reality is that without the Holy Spirit, we could not have a relationship with God. And yet, because the fact that Holy Spirit came, the disciples themselves began to understand the things that occurred. Koinonia. They understood what it meant. All right, so let's move on to the back part of verse 3. It says that ye also may have fellowship with us. Yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. I want you to notice the progression of relationship here as John introduces his hearers to this concept of having relationship with the Father and Son. He starts out by saying that you can have a relationship with us as we have a relationship with the Father and his Son. Do you notice the transition there? I've noticed this over and over again in our little congregation here. People come into the congregation through relationship. They come into the congregation because they have a relationship with us. They may not at the time of coming into this congregation have a relationship with the Father, the Son. But through us and our relationship with the Father and the Son, they're introduced to that concept. A good example of this was Liz when she was a young teenager. Her family welcomed us into their home to do a Bible study in their home. We had 4 or 5 young people from the neighborhood who joined us in that Bible study. Now, I and Pastor Stain was there, and Paul Curd and a few others, we did Bible studies there. And we introduced them to Father, Son, Spirit. And they began to have a relationship with Father, Son, Spirit. That led to Liz living a life where she now and Travis introduced their kids to God, Father, Son, and Spirit. That's how it works. We bring them along and they bring their kids along or they bring their friends along or however that works. But it starts out with us having a relationship, koinonia, with Father, Son, Spirit, and having koinonia with our friends, our family, whoever, our barista, and we just bring them along. And that is what John is saying here. Let me read this again. that ye also may have fellowship with us, right? And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So we already have this established, and we invite you to join us. All right, so let's move on to verse 5 here. And this is the message which we have heard from him, and we announce it unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So again, the progression is, we have this message which we are going to share with you. We heard it from him, right? Him being Christ. And guess what? We announce it, or we share it with you. So the message is from Christ about his Father, received directly from Christ, by the way, firsthand. And the message is this, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So John here equates light with sinlessness, and darkness with sin. And John essentially is saying here that there is no sin, there is no darkness to be found in God. All right, so let's move on to verse 6. John says, if we say that we have fellowship with him, who? God, Father, Son, Spirit, and walk in darkness, we lie. And we do not the truth. So this is an interesting observation about lifestyles here, but not about sin. Who here is sinless? Put your hands back down. Come on. Nobody here is sinless. So this isn't talking about living a perfect life. Sin in, and this is an interesting, and this is really an important statement here. Sin in and by itself will not keep you from relationship with God. Let me repeat that. Sin in and by itself will not keep you from a relationship with God. We all sin. We all make mistakes. We all fall short. It's what we do after that that makes all the difference in the world. And I'm going to explain this. If we have a lifestyle of sin without remorse and with intentions to continue in that lifestyle, you see the motivation here. And yet we claim to have a relationship with God, guess what? We are lying. When we occasionally sin and make mistakes and take them to God and he's quick to forgive, and we maintain a relationship with him and with each other, then we are in koinonia with God. We are in relationship with God. There's a big difference there, right? Let's get into that a little bit. All right, so let's look at verse 7 here. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Wow. There it is. If we strive to walk together in fellowship with God and other fellow Christians walking the same walk, then we will naturally have fellowship with each other. And by implication, fellowship with God. But let's read the back part of this again. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. This second part is very, very good news for all of us. The fact that he cleanses us from all sin. We're going to sin. We're going to make mistakes. And Jesus' blood will cleanse us from those mistakes. Not just some of those mistakes, not just the little mistakes we make, but all sin, all mistakes. God will cleanse us from those mistakes. He goes on here. He says, but if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we claim to be without sin, and people do this, they claim to be without sin. In essence, they're denying Christ and the reason that he came, and he's not a part of their lives. Or as John puts it, the truth is not in them. Now, some people excuse their sin by blaming their humanity, by saying, sure, I make mistakes, but I'm only human. They won't admit to being sinners. Why not? Because that comes with the knowledge that there is a God. They acknowledge that there is a God and that he has the right to define what's right and what's wrong and to speak into their lives. Does that make sense? Because if they don't acknowledge that there is a God, then they're not held accountable by God for their sins. And they're free to basically do what they want. They're just human after all. They're going to make mistakes. But to admit that their mistakes are sin is to acknowledge that there is a God and he has the right to define what is right and what is wrong. Big difference there. All right, verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, in other words, if we acknowledge that we do sin and confess those to God, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In essence, we acknowledge that God exists and that we are sinners. If we do that, then he will always forgive us of our sins, period, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice it doesn't say the small unrighteousness you do or just the big ones but not the small ones. No, it's all means all. All right, verse 10. It says, if we say that we have not sinned, in other words, we just blame it on our humanity, we make him a liar. And the word is not in us. There it is again. The word is not in us. Jesus is not in us. Holy Spirit is not in us. If we claim we don't sin, then we're saying that God isn't true and God doesn't exist, or that he doesn't have the right to define what is right and wrong. And in essence, we end up calling him a liar, and we don't have a relationship with him. That's not a very good place to be. John puts it this way, his word is not in us. All right, so we move on to chapter 2, verse 1, and it says, my little children, these things write I unto you that you may not sin. And if any man does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, that is Jesus Christ the righteous. There's another name for him, Jesus Christ the righteous. So John's not saying here that we could ever achieve a perfect life, or that he had achieved a perfect life, but that if we acknowledge that we are sinners now, and we acknowledge that we shouldn't be striving to sin, then we do have a relationship with him. Sin, again, I'll repeat this for the third time. Sin will not hinder our relationship with God unless we choose to let it. If we take our missteps, if we take our sins to God, he is quick and it's assured that he will forgive. forgive us. He continues, he said, my little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, that is Jesus Christ, the righteous. Jesus came to earth and lived a human life. He did this so that we could have a perfect advocate between us and God, a representative of us. How does that work? He came here and he lived a perfect life. He suffered. He felt pain. He felt hungry. He experienced all the things we experience as a human. And so, again, Jesus lived a perfect life and then he died. But his grave is empty because he rose again. And he now sits at the Father's right hand. But it was important that he lived this life so that he can say, you know what? I understand what Bobby is going through. The anger he might experience or the fear he might experience or what Teresa's going through, you know. So he can say, I understand, I get it, been there, done that, walk that road, know that. And he makes the perfect defense attorney for us. He lived a human life so that he could be the perfect defense attorney between us and God. You and I are going to sin, no question about it, every day. We're going to sin until the day we die. But because Jesus made the perfect sacrifice for our sins, we don't have to sweat it. Just take it to God and let it go, right? His blood shed on the cross allows us to face God, who is completely righteous. And it allows him to see us as completely righteous through his Son. We can have this relationship with God. And my prayer for us this week then is this, that we realize our position as children of God and we live that relationship as children of God, that we happily step into that harness and we enjoy that position he's given us. We can have and should have a relationship with each other, doing life together with each other, but we can have and should have a relationship with God as well. Please join me in prayer. Father, thank you for allowing us to be your children. Thank you for John's explanation of stepping into that relationship and that we should be comfortable with that relationship. If anyone struggles with a relationship with you as I have in the past, help us to clarify that. Help us to be comfortable with that. Work with us and redefine love, redefine relationship in our minds as you have with me. We love you and praise you and thank you in your name, Jesus. Amen.